Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded February 22nd, 2012. Hello to the internet, and I officially got the word we're going to be on Rant Radio Talk, so that's pretty dang cool. Let's see, we'll be on Rant Radio Saturday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. You'll have to adjust according to your location, but I want to thank everybody there to let us have some time on the airwaves of the mighty and noteworthy Rant Radio, so welcome everybody there. This is episode 5 of Rangers A to Z, and this is tech support. And by tech support, I don't really mean necessarily computer tech support. It's actually how to fix all kinds of stuff. Tech support is, this episode and probably another sequel, is about aiding other people in fixing their minor everyday problems. Obviously, the place to start here is with computer tech support. If you've got a parent or a friend that's not very computer savvy and they look at you as being the computer guy, you're going to get that phone call one day that says, my internets don't work. I don't know what happened. I think I broke everything," or, you know, something like that. And really, you know this call. If you've got any kind of computer savvy whatsoever, you know this call. If you don't have any kind of computer savvy whatsoever, you know, if you're basically just able to get it turned on and function moderately with it, this hopefully will help you some. When you get a chance, go to http://xkcd.com. X-ray Kevin Chris Dan. I can't remember my friggin' alphanumerics today. xkcd.com/627/, and you'll find the tech support cheat sheet. That little piece right there will give you at least a good start on how to fix things. It's a quick little flowchart. You basically, you know, look at the cheat sheet and go, okay, that's where I'm at. Here's my problem. Bring up your search engine, type in, I'm having problems with whatever that problem is, and go from there. Obviously, you need a machine that's still functional. If you only got one computer, you might have to go to a friend's house, go to the library, or something like that. And it really applies to everything. That kind of tech support, actually, if you take out the concept of it being computer tech support, goes for everything. Let's say your car is making a strange noise. Okay. Jump online, grab whatever search engine you prefer to use, type in, my car is making this noise. And the more you can narrow it down as to the model, the make, the year, where the noise is coming from, the better chance you have of actually finding out what's going on. And if you got a friend who's somewhat mechanically inclined, they can probably say, well, it's probably, you know, let's say it's your wheel bearing is shot. So you type in, I've got a 1963 Ford whatever with a shot wheel bearing. Or what have you, you know, insert your information here. And then go from there, and basically, you're doing tech support for yourself. You're doing tech support for life. And tech support for life is something that a lot of people kind of get lost on. They do it every day. They're just not aware they do it. Some people will do it without even thinking about it. They stand there for a minute and think and go, well, okay, this doesn't work. How, you know, what was happening when this last happened? How do I fix this? How do I make this better? That's doing tech support, whether you realize it or not. And, you know, I could really use some tech support for having made a really bad set of notes here. I've got my notes in front of me, and I managed to scramble them all up, so this is going to be a little bit hectic and chaotic and screwed up. But it's the internet, and it's taped live, and, you know, I really should go back in and edit when I screw things up, but hey, okay. And I noticed that I'm in the schedule between a couple of basically comedy shows on Rant, so I'm supposed to be funnier, I guess. I don't know, maybe when Sim listened to this, he thought I was funny. I consider myself about as exciting as listening to stereo instruction and books on tape, but hopefully somebody out there gets a grin out of this and learns something and hopefully passes it on to people that can use it. That said, oh, and you know what else? I got the time wrong. It's, crud. You'll have to go to the Rant Radio Talk page and click on the schedule. It's based on Pacific Times, where they're based out of. It might be 9 p.m. Eastern. I can't remember exactly. At any rate, you'll have to do some tech support there. And if you're listening to it now, obviously either you found it on our regular server or you got it right. Our regular server is rangers.com, R4NGER5.com. On the left or the right hand side, you'll find links to all of our media, including A to Z. Everything we do is free to share. Take it, record it, put it on your iPod, hand it out to friends, whatever. Feel free to spread it. Feel free to you know, do whatever with it. Download it, listen to it, save it. Hopefully you get something out of it. Any rate, let's see. Tech support. My notes are still absolutely horrible. I came back to this. I had to take a break, and a bunch of things came down, and you're going to discover a bunch of these shows are actually recorded with a pretty good break in them. I get a show started, somebody shows up, or I get back to a project, or I decide to go make food and wander off for a week or what have you, and this is another one of those. So now I don't even have the notes in front of me I had before. So this will be really kind of fun, won't it? Anyway, I was saying it was between comedy shows, so, you know, you can laugh at my inability to organize on this kind of stuff or something. Let's see, tech support. So, basically, anytime you got a problem, the first obvious solution is go to a search engine, go to Google, go to XQuick, go to DuckDuckGo, what have you. Type in, this is my problem. When you get a start, you know, sometimes you're going to get some really junk links. This is where tech support part two comes in. You have to start going through and figuring out, you know, are they just trying to sell me something here, or is this really actually going to help me? With computers, a lot of times you'll get, for example, somebody gets a virus, you know, happens, somebody forwards you an email, whatever, their machine gets botnet or something, they forward you an email, you inadvertently manage to get yourself a virus somehow, and, you know, you probably shouldn't be going to certain places in the net and things like that without all kinds of antivirus software and stuff. So, you know, that's one of the ways that it often gets in there. But you get a virus and you type in, how do I fix this particular virus? Quite often you'll come up with, hey, why don't you download our tools? And some of those tools are actually worse than the virus they're meant to create. Some of the fake viruses are actually what they call scareware. It's a fake antivirus program that pretends to scan your machine and then says, oh, we found all these problems. And it tries to hijack your machine. It'll try and disable other antivirus equipment. It'll try and take over your browser so that whenever you get online, it wants to go to its site to sell you their product. These can be a real nuisance to get rid of. And really, they're just a scam. There's one that keeps coming back over and over and over again, and it has a new name every time it comes back. It looks like antivirus software, but it's not. I can't remember all the different incarnations it showed up under. Any rate, the other thing to do is once you've got it narrowed down some, start contacting your buddies that are somewhat knowledgeable in that field. Let's say in the car example, you think you've got a bad wheel bearing, okay? You've gone through the listings and stuff, and it looks like that's what's going on. Get a hold of your car buddies, because they may come over and listen and go, no, dude, that's not a wheel bearing. That's actually a brake dragging, you know. Which if you'd have taken it into the service center, there's a good chance they'd have replaced your wheel bearing for you, even if it didn't need to be, because it's what you ask for. And so, really, tech support is a multi-stage thing. For example, well, let's actually go back to what tech support most people think of. When you call tech support, let's say you've got cable internet. I've got some friends that do this job, so I've got a little bit of insight here. Let's say you've got cable internet and you're having problems. So you call them up. After you get through the little voicemail maze and have to listen to the waiting music and all that kind of stuff, you'll have a fellow on the other end of the line that's known as Tier 1. Tier 1 internet is basically your first rank in tech support. Most of these guys are working off from a script. Some of them know what they're doing. Some of them are really clever and really good at what they're doing. Some aren't. Some are just people that needed a job, and that was the one that was open. And Tier 1 tech support is required in most places to work off from a script. And it'll seem really aggravating and seem really annoying. They're going to ask you to do a bunch of stuff you're probably already going to have done. You know, you've gone through and you've power cycled the modem, you've power cycled the computer, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, turn it on, turn it off, wait a little bit, turn it back on again, that kind of thing. But they have to go through the list just to make sure that a step wasn't missed, because sometimes people inadvertently miss a step and don't realize they've done it. And when they go through that with you, quite often they've got somebody over their shoulder, either listening on the call or literally standing behind them, watching over their shoulder, making sure they go through every step on the list. So even though it probably annoys them and you, there's really no way around it. That's just the way the system has to work. If they can't fix it, sometimes they'll escalate the call and you'll go to what's called Tier 2. Tier 2 has a lot more leeway. They don't have as many supervisors standing over their shoulders saying, okay, you know, you must follow the script, you must do it this way. By the time you hit Tier 2, you're going to be on the phone for probably 45 minutes in most cases. There's really no way to jump over Tier 1 in a lot of the systems. There are a few companies that are exceptions there, where, you know, you'll call back and they'll say, oh yeah, I remember talking to you, you know, yesterday, we couldn't fix your problem yesterday, let's just escalate you to Tier 2. Tier 2 has a lot more leeway in how they do things. They have a lot more tools available to them as well. And in some cases, you'll get as far as Tier 3. Tier 3 is usually as far as it goes. Tier 3 is often known as one of the worst jobs there are. I know some people that work Tier 3 tech support, and by the time you got someone in the line, they were already ragingly angry because it had taken so long. So when you call tech support, you know, be patient, be understanding, realize they can't really... You know, they can't really fix things as easily as it would be nice to have them do so. Their hands are tied. They're stuck doing things according to the system. Try to be really patient with them. It's not an easy job. And half the people they're dealing with are angry and very self-righteous and very self-justified. And you know, quite often they're wrong. You know, well, I don't know anybody here. Nobody here could have possibly been downloading anything that could have caused a problem. Wait, you have a machine that has open access sitting in the middle of a frat hall with, 65 frat brothers and other people wandering in and out that anybody can sit down in front of at any time of the day, and there's no login or anything, and yet somehow something happened, but it couldn't be anybody there. Huh. Yeah, I don't think so, guys. So once you've kind of narrowed down what your problem is, then you go about fixing it. Now, this really applies to everything. This is computers, this is cars, this is everything. You've managed to give yourself the first level of tech support. You know what the issue is, or at least you think you know what the issue is. Sometimes you'll discover you're actually wrong. You know, you'll get the problem one fixed and find out that wasn't what was really going on. Fixing my van is like that almost every time. You know, it looks like it's something, and you get back in there and discover, nope, that's not what it was. That was just another symptom. But you go through and you take it out one thing at a time. You fix one thing at a time as best you're able. Hopefully you'll get it. Hopefully you'll find what the problem is. You might find some other problems that need to be fixed too. So, you know, in the long run, great. You fixed other stuff too. Now, if all this seems like it sounds kind of like you're diagnosing a disease, in some ways you are. What a doctor is doing is just tech support for the body. They're trying to figure out, okay, what's really going on here? Anymore, because of the way the healthcare system works, quite often they're kind of time limited. So a really good idea when you're going to the doctor, when you're going to the hardware store, when you're going to the auto parts store, is to write down everything ahead of time. Write down what the symptoms are, write down whatever the broken thing is doing, whether it's your body, your car, your computer, and have on a little 3x5 index card a list of what it's doing. And this may help the guy behind the counter a great deal too, or the doctor, or whoever you're dealing with. Just because if you've got a list of things, they may have seen this before. This particular spring, 2012, we've been having, I think it's H3N2 going around. Very common flu. Most of the symptomology is pretty similar. A lot of people having exact same symptoms, that kind of stuff. So if you go to the doctor and say, I'm having this terrible head cold, I've got fever, I've got joint aches, I got chill, he's got a pretty good guess right away. Hey, that might be what this is. Let's treat it like that first. Now, if that doesn't work, or, he may want to run further tests too. But that's more than likely what it is. That's the obvious thing. In tech support, that's one of the things. Start with the obvious first. If your car doesn't go, is it out of gas? If the engine doesn't turn over, is the battery dead? Did somebody steal the battery? I know, it sounds bizarre, but that does actually happen once in a while. I had a friend have that happen to him. Called me up one day and said, hey man, can you come over and give me a jump? Sure, no problem. I got over there at my car, got the jumper cables, we popped the hood open, and his battery was just gone. Gone. Not there anymore. Well, there's your problem right there, isn't it? So, had he opened the hood and stood there and stared at it, it's funny. People don't know anything about cars. Open the hood and stand there and stare at it for a while and go, don't know what I'm looking at here. With cars, one of the most useful tech support things there is to get for your car is either a Haynes or a Chilton's manual, something like that, manual for them. Go to the auto parts store. They're going to be under $20 usually. A really new car often won't have a manual. A five-year-old car, more often than not, you could find manual for. There are a few cars that are exceptions. They're hard to come up with manuals for certain vehicles. The nice thing about the manuals is they actually take a car and they go through, they literally buy a car and go through the entire car and do everything on it. Simple things like changing bulbs, change the oil, that kind of stuff, right up to a full engine teardown. And they go through and take photographs and give you step-by-step instructions. They give you a full set of details on everything you need to know in the car. This is what the tire pressure should be. This is what, this is how many quarts of oil it takes. This is how many quarts of antifreeze it takes, so on and so forth. And they give you everything. And it's absolutely worth having. Even if you're never going to work on the car yourself, there's usually a diagnostic matrix in there. The car doesn't work. Okay, go to that page. Look on that page. And it goes through and tells you, all right, you get in the car, you turn the key on, do the lights come on the dashboard? No. All right, well then probably it's a dead battery. Let's go through and troubleshoot that. Lights come on, the car doesn't turn over. Here's a couple other possibilities. In the long run, this can save you a great deal of money, which is really what, when we come right down to it, A to Z really is about saving you money. Amongst other things, being able to be competent, being able to be functional in the world is generally a good way of saving money. When you have to hire a specialist, you have to pay for all their knowledge and their education, that kind of thing. Even if you're not a specialist, even if you're not really super good at something, if you've got some ability, you can take care of the little things like changing your oil, for example, or changing a light bulb in your house. If you have to hire an electrician to come in every time you have to change a light bulb, do you have any idea how friggin' expensive that would be? It's kind of an extreme example, but there are people out there who really don't know how to change a light bulb. Obviously, you don't really want to have the switch on when you do it. You don't want to stick your finger in the socket to clean it out when the switch is on, because, it won't kill you. It might knock you off the ladder, and that might kill you, but boy, I'll tell you what, you're not going to do that again. So, you've got a problem, a basic problem. Learn how to fix it. Obviously, get somebody who knows what they're doing to show you first. if you've never owned a house before, you know, if your parents always took care of everything around the house and you don't know how to change a light bulb, get a friend who's done it before to show you how to change a light bulb so you don't end up cooking yourself. If you don't know how to cook, get somebody who knows how to cook well to teach you. Very, very basics. When you get a cookbook, a lot of cookbooks don't have the super simple section in them anymore they used to. If you can get your hands on an old, old cookbook, some have absolute basics. Cookbooks from the 50s, 40s and 50s seem to have absolute basic sections that assume you don't know anything. They teach you what every different discussion in there is, every different technique is. On the other hand, some also make the assumption you already know all this stuff, and they have nothing at all in them. They jump right in, and you're standing there staring at it going, I have no clue what I'm doing here. So, get somebody who's got some experience to show you things. And this applies to everything. This is absolutely everything in life. When you want to learn to do something, find people know how to do it. Nowadays, we've got YouTube, but like everything else, take it with a grain of salt. The comments section may not necessarily be the best way to figure out if it's the right way to do something. Quite often the comments are just all over the place. Random, disconnected from what's actually going on in the video, personal attacks, crazy stuff, links to things that have no pertinence whatsoever. Watch five or six different videos from different people and see if they all kind of jive up and all, you know, agree this is the way to do something. If you get three different videos that all say something completely different, look for different sources. Obviously, something isn't cohesion in this stuff. There's a lack of cohesion here. There's a lack of consensus on how to do something. And I'm slightly distracted because of the irony of this. In the middle of doing an episode about tech support, my DSL just cut out. Which seriously complicates me doing some searching for some of the things I had bookmarked, going to put in the later parts of the show. Having had this happen before, I know exactly what's going on. It's late at night. I tend to record these in the middle of the night because there's less ambient noise around outside. I don't have cars drag racing or the neighbors playing their stereo loud or anything like that. So I tend to record, you know, fairly late at night. Sometimes they'll be doing maintenance or something like that. Sometimes the weather will change and cause problems. In my particular case, the modem has a light that says DSL and then a light that says internet next to it. When the internet light cuts out, you're no longer online. Of course, everything else, you know, that I'm connected to freaks out and goes, I'm not connected anymore. IRC, for example, you know, I'm usually on IRC and get ideas off different guys and bounce ideas off the guys and the Rangers and so on and so forth. And right now, everything disconnected. So, yeah, that's kind of funny, actually. My DSL light is blinking steadily and slowly, which means that it doesn't see a sufficient signal. So they could be doing some maintenance at the building. They could be having some technical issues, or somebody could have smacked a pole and messed up the wiring or something like that. I just think it's kind of funny and ironic that the DSL went out right in the middle of a tech support episode. That's just, you know, that's just very fitting. Well, let's see. We're coming up on the halfway point. I'm going to throw some music in here in a little bit. I haven't decided what I'm going to put in yet. I don't know if I have anything that's really tech support-ish music that I've got permission to use yet. There's a couple pieces that I thought about using, but I haven't heard back from the people yet to get information. The Blue Light Band out of Canada did a song called Pebcak. Problem Exists Between Keyboard and Chair. It's a great little ditty. Look that one up sometime if you get a chance. It's one of the famous computer errors. The Pebcak error basically means that the person operating the machine has done something they weren't supposed to. You'll also see the ID10T error, the idiot error. And some of these can get really funny. If you ever really want to have some fun, jump in a search engine and look for Tales of Tech Support Horror. There's a couple of sites out there that go into some of the things that people have to deal with. And a lot of it's just ignorance. Ignorance is fixable. Ignorance is not knowing any better. And this is what we're here to try and fix. If you're listening, you've taken that effort, you've taken that step and said, I want to learn more. You know, I don't want to be taken advantage of anymore. I want to be able to be a competent person. I want to get out in life and live bigger and better. Great, rock on. Let's do that. Stupidity is, in many cases, knowing this is not going to work and just blindly fighting against it. Stupidity is, it can't be fixed so easily. And some people just aren't cognizant of their own lack of knowledge. That's okay. That's ignorance. That can be fixed. Some people will openly say, I'm not going to learn that. That's stupidity. If it's something that could help you, if it's something that could improve your life, improve your family's lives, improve your friends' lives, and improve your place in the world, why not learn it? Sometimes it's challenging. Anybody who's ever taken the higher college math courses knows it's not that easy. But in the long run, anything that improves yourself, your lot in life, absolutely. Learn how to do it. Basic woodwork, how to sew, even if you're not going to be a seamstress or something like that, knowing how to sew, when you blow the crotch out of your jeans, your favorite pair of jeans, if you got a sewing machine and can sew it up, hey, great, you just saved your favorite pair of jeans. Rock on. You got your work clothes and you tear the knee out of them and you want to put a patch on the knee, great, rock on. A lot cheaper than going out and buying another, you know, $30, $40 pair of heavy work jeans, you know. So, quite often, being competent is being able to function and thrive and not have to, you know, not have to spend a huge amount of money to do it. You can get an old sewing machine at yard sales or someplace like that, Goodwill even sometimes, for $10. And they're absolutely worth having. If you got room to store it, absolutely worth having. Same goes for your kitchen. There's a few things that are just a really good thing to have in your kitchen. Having a blender or food processor is not really a bad tool to have. You may not use it all the time, but the times that you do need it, oh, does it rock to have. Having a couple good cookie sheets, not a bad thing to have. You can make all kinds of stuff with them. You can put pizza on them, you can put cookies on them, you can, you know, put fish sticks on them, whatever. So at any rate, I'm going to break here for music. We're about the halfway point, and like I say, I have no idea what I'm going to play, but we'll find out. So I decided to go with Doug Sparling. You can find him on Alone Tone, and I believe also DougSparlingMusic.com. That's DougSparling. The first track was Iron Wall, the second track was Hellmouth, and I'm going to close with a real up-tempo rocking track he did called Chagrin, at the end of the show. Doug is just a fun guy. He does some really neat stuff, real positive, really a great guy. We had a couple of discussions, in chat over the years, and, just big props to Doug. He's just a great person. And part of his tech support in life was he started looking at the world around him and said, you know, there's ways that I can make a difference personally. He carries these little kind of like homeless aid kits, I guess you'd call them. When he encounters someone in the street who's begging for a handout, he gives it to him. It's got some food. It's got some moist towelettes. It's got... can't remember all what's in the kits he's given out. He told me, it just escapes me. But you can search online and find information about them. A lot of different people do different ones. There's, you know, some have Band-Aids, some have Neosporin, stuff like that. Those little trial-size soaps and whatnot, you know, the waterless soaps and things. Just a good idea. You know, just a good way to make a difference in the world around you. And it was basically a tech support thing. He said, there's a problem in the world. How do I fix it? It doesn't necessarily fix it completely, but it helps a little. And sometimes helping a little makes a huge difference. You never quite know, you know? So, yeah. Thanks, Doug, for letting us use his music. That was very cool. And you'll notice I get a lot of my music from Alone Tone. ALONETONE.com. One of the precepts of using Alone Tone as a musician is that your stuff is available for free download. You never pay for anything. There's no subscription service. There's no fees. There's no nothing. Just go there, dig around, and there's a chat room and the whole nine yards. A lot of times you get to chat with people you actually enjoy their work. There's a pretty big community there. I can't remember how many artists, and because my DSL is still down, I don't know. I can't look, and you know, can't just check that out for you right now. But at any rate, back to tech support. Well, sort of back to tech support. Sometimes you'll discover that the thing broken actually is the user. I've had a bunch of things that I found out later I was using wrong, and that's why they didn't work that well. That's that PebCac error we talked about before the music break. I had a couple of fairly interesting cabinetry tools. And, you know, being a guy, I figured, oh, I know how to use this thing. I'll just slap it on there and go. And it turns out I wasn't clamping them right. And so I was getting a lot of chip out, tearing the wood up really badly. And had I actually followed the instructions that were included with the thing, which I did go back and look at later and went, oh, geez, that's such a, you know, such a basic, stupid mistake. I shouldn't have made that in the first place. And so I had to reteach myself how to use this particular tool and these particular tools. And in doing so, yeah, makes a whole lot better cut. And fortunately, it wasn't something that was critical. It wasn't something dangerous. It was just kind of cosmetically annoying. So now, as you're doing tech support, especially stage two of home personal tech support, you'll get into an interesting phase that may have farther-reaching consequences than you realize. You've narrowed down what your problem is. You've now decided, okay, I need to get an expert and go a little further. There's lots of online chat rooms where you can jump in, or forums and things like that, and post information and say, okay, I'm having this problem. How do I fix whatever? And that really applies to everything. That's, you know, cars and computers and the whole nine yards. But in some cases, you won't realize that you're networking. Networking is incredibly useful. You'll come to know people through trying to fix your own problems with similar interests, because they too have the same problems you're having, who over the years may end up actually being good connections for other things, be it fixing other problems, be it possibly getting a job, be it finding a good place to eat even. Case in point, I use Reaper to record this stuff with, Reaper.fm. I usually try and stay away from, you know, suggesting specific things, but this is one I would actually recommend. Reaper is a digital audio workstation for recording audio. A lot of people have heard of Pro Tools or Audacity, things like that. For general use, I would recommend Audacity to most people. It's pretty basic, it's pretty easy to set up and run. Doesn't take a whole lot of tech support to get it to work for most people. For me, Reaper worked really, really well. I was doing the RPM challenge, which is to write and record an album the month of February, and then the month of February, just because you can. Sorry about that, didn't mean to scare you out of your chair there. Usually I try and put you to sleep when I'm doing these kinds of things, and that little clear of my throat thing probably woke a whole bunch of people up, sorry. So I was doing the RPM challenge, and I was using Audacity, and it wasn't doing what I wanted it to. Because of some specifics of the way I was recording, it wasn't really lining up multitracking in the ways that I was kind of thinking it should, and I wasn't willing to pay for Pro Tools. And I didn't really like Pro Tools. It works for a lot of people. It didn't really work for me that well. There was a couple things in its workflow that just drove me nuts. And so a couple people had recommended I try Reaper, and it was very early on in the production cycle. It was Reaper 1.something, and they're up to 4 now. And I downloaded it within minutes I was recording. I mean, you know, quite literally, I had it installed. I plugged in my my hardware, my outboard gear, and I had stuff on the hard drive within about 6 to 8 minutes. Less than a couple hours later, I had songs done, completely finished, done, ready to go to mastering and be finished out. It worked really well for me until I hit a problem. I was trying to run MIDI and didn't know what I was doing, and didn't realize that you had to have, I had never run MIDI before, Musical Instrument Digital Interface, I believe is what that stands for. But it also allows you to actually create things in the machine, not have to have an outboard instrument. For example, drums or piano sounds, that kind of stuff. A lot of things on records you've heard are actually MIDI, you may not realize it, or they're samples in some cases. In some cases, a hybrid of both. The MIDI player triggers samples, recordings of other instruments, and it's something you'll have to do a lot of research and looking into if you're really interested in this kind of thing. So I jumped in the chat room and said, okay, I'm an idiot. I know that I'm doing something wrong here. The problem exists between keyboard and chair. What am I doing wrong? That particular night, I was really lucky. One of the guys in the Reaper help room got me going in the right direction, and within 5 minutes, I was recording MIDI. So I kept going back. I thanked him. I said, you know, you really, really saved my butt here. I got this album done on time, and I got some things on album I'd never done before. I'd never done any MIDI work before, so I had this kind of a couple pieces, and I'll put it in one of the shows somewhere. I did my first slide guitar recordings. I think actually that first recording I did with Reaper was the first time I ever recorded slide. And I'll put that in here somewhere too at some point. If you check my podcasts for Blacksmith Stuff, it opens that on quite a few of them, so that's a whole different story. But I kept going back. I just kind of started, you know, lurking there and hanging out because I could study what other people were doing and see the suggestions other people were given. And by using IRC, you can basically leave it open all the time, just lurk there. You know, they call it lurking when you're not really interacting with the conversation, but you could read the scroll back and see other people's problems solved, see what solutions were offered, see what tricks were offered. And I started to realize that these guys really knew what was going on. They knew their stuff. I don't think it was quite a year later, but it was some months later. One of the guys that I'd kind of made fast friends with there took me aside in a private chat room. He says, do you know who Pipeline is? Nice guy. No, I don't. You know, I don't really know who he is.
I've been to his site, you know, pipelineaudio.net. I've been to his site. I've read his stories. I've read his Don't Get Jack blog. It's good information. You know, the guy's pretty sharp. He says, yeah, go to his site and look at his client list. And I found out then that, and I actually played Pipeline in the opening show. Pipeline Audio, Out Wickenburg Way. It's a little cowboy song. It's just a screaming metal tune. Great, great piece of work. And I want to thank him again for helping me out and for letting me use his audio. But, so I find out he's actually a pretty famous engineer and has recorded a number of pieces that you've probably heard and may not even realize it. And he's very willing to give information, just really helpful people. And by networking based on my own tech support problems, I started hanging out with him online. We did a couple of projects together. He taught me a lot of really handy tricks and, you know, really easy ways to fix things. And sometimes that'll happen to you. You'll discover people that you've never met face-to-face that become part of your life, become part of who you are through fixing problems, fixing each other's problems. I was able to help him out on a few things. He was able to help me out. The two of us together have helped out other friends. One of the other guys we hang out with, I'm going to play some of their stuff down the road once they actually get their site up. Bungle. Merck's Under Fire. I think you can find them on YouTube right now, but they don't have any of the really good stuff up. There's some really fantastic music coming, but they don't have their site up yet, so I don't have a place to link them, so I can't play them yet. Because I want to give credit to where things are from. And if you happen to know somebody that does produce music, that, you know, might be something that we might like, that might be fun to put on the show, and they don't mind sharing it, right now you can find us on Facebook. You just look, just search for Rangers A to Z, R4NGER5, A, the number 2, Z. You'll find us there. Drop us a message and say, hey, you know, my buddy's in this band, or I'm in a band, or whatever, you know, you want to use our stuff. We'll give it a listen, see if it fits in somewhere. Hopefully it actually ties into one of the shows we're doing, not like today's did. And then we'll, you know, we'll spread the fun. But through that networking, you know, you can get yourself into some really interesting situations that are very positive and very helpful to your life and other people's lives. Honestly, it's how I ended up here doing this radio show. I've listened to Rant for ages. I don't know how long. Rant Industrial, particularly, I've had on since probably 2001, 2002, somewhere right around when they first started. And so for me to be on Rant is really frickin' cool. There's thousands of other internet stations out there, and I've listened to a lot of different podcasts and things like that, and listened to a lot of different radio talk shows and stuff. And so it was really kind of cool to actually, you know, to one day realize, well, geez, I can do this, which means that, geez, you can do this too. You know stuff I don't know. Why don't you put together your own podcast? You don't necessarily need to be on an internet radio station. You can just put it together and throw it up somewhere, promote it through Facebook, promote it through what have you, any, you know, wherever you know, and use your networking, use your tech support abilities, and figure out how to spread the word. Let's say you know a lot about cars. Let's say you know a lot about a very specific car. The Pontiac Fiero, for example. A buddy of mine is a documentary filmmaker and really loved the Pontiac Fiero and worked with GM to produce a documentary film about the Pontiac Fiero and became one of the go-to guys in that group of people to get information from. And knows just a tremendous amount about the vehicle. I don't believe he does a podcast about it, but I know he's done a couple of films about the car. The history, the maintenance, a lot of really neat little trivia bits. And so, you know, you, the listener, know about something. I know who some of my listeners are. I know for sure there's some people out there who have information that isn't common about archery, about camping in the wild, about a lot of different skills. And we as humans are a very oral tradition. We pass things on by telling stories. Now, we can sit around a sort of virtual campfire and tell those stories to people who are on the other side of the globe. And they can listen days, weeks, months, even years after we told that story. The recorded word is a fantastic way to spread information, to spread knowledge, and to better us all. So use your tech support abilities to help others. If you want to do it anonymously, absolutely, not a problem with that. If you can give some credence to your credentials, perfect. There's a few shows I'm working on in the background right now. I do these shows in parts quite often. I've got a couple of very serious shows coming up. There's a few things that I'm going to cover that are controversial and that I'm treading very carefully with because they need to be handled very carefully. They are a form of tech support for our social ills, for situations that I wouldn't wish anybody to be in. And I'm trying to get some interviews together with a couple of people who are PhDs in those fields that I've known for years. And if I can get everything to work together on those, you'll hear those in this time slot at some point, and you'll be able to find them on the Ranger site at some point. So hopefully we can get that together. We can use that tech support to improve people's lives. So this one's kind of been going around in circles for a while, hasn't it? Comes right down to basically if you got a problem, fix your problem. And, you know, I'm sure some people were tuning in hoping I'd tell you the secret to everything. The secret's pretty simple. It really is pretty simple. I don't know how to do this. How can I learn to do this? It used to be you went to the library or you sought out somebody in your area that knew how to do that. Now you can jump on the internet and find somebody else who's already posted how to do it. There are hobbyist groups for almost everything out there. Model aircraft, model rocketry, building boats, building cars. There are groups that hand-build cars, not rebuild old cars. They build new cars from the ground up. And I literally mean every single part in the car is handmade. They're a fascinating group to watch. That's way more work than I'm willing to do. There are all kinds of groups out there with information for building movie props, for making your own home movies, for making... And some of these home movies are really pretty good. If you haven't seen some of the quote-unquote cheap independent films, I'd seek out Troops. If you like science fiction and Star Wars, you'll love Troops. Troops is impressive. There's a fan-based series done on a very low budget done for Star Trek. That's actually pretty fantastic. There's a film called Grayson, Grayson. It's a trailer for a film that was never made, where Batman dies and Robin basically has to figure out what's going on. Fantastic film, done on the cheap. The main character was played by the fellow who made the film. All the people are friends of his. Maybe you want to make films. Okay, great. Now's the time. It has never been cheaper to make media. If you're listening to me on an electronic device, you probably already have the technology to do what I'm doing. You don't necessarily need a full machine with Reaper and a big studio mic and mixing boards and all that kind of stuff. A cheap USB headset mic, an iPhone or an Android phone, a cheap little laptop, what have you. You can make media with very little. And now's the time. Absolutely. Spread the information. Spread what you know. Even if you're just in high school and just starting out and don't really know what you know yet, you still know something. You can share with people who don't know as much as you do. You might be discovered as... You might be... I can talk English. I really can, honestly. You might be surprised to discover that some of the people that are learning from you are, 50 years older than you. Perhaps you go through and record a piece for your grandma to help her... the joke used to be to set the clock on the VCR, but, grandma, here's how to use Facebook. Here's how to check your email. Here's how to, win at Farmville. What have you. So... And you'll have to adjust what you're saying to your clientele, to your listeners. And of course, that's another one of those tech support things. You'll have to do some looking up and figure that out. If you use a lot of jargon words, you're going to have to define what they are. I try not to. I do it constantly. I listen to the show when it plays, when it replays on the air, and go, ah, geez, I should explain what that means. And so at some point I'll go back through and have a fill-in show that just explains these weird little terms that I tend to use occasionally, and hopefully not confuse people too badly. Looks like we're winding down toward the end of the hour here. About 2 minutes left before we get into the last song, maybe three. Again, I want to take a little bit of time to tell you that this is a free podcast. You're free to disseminate it. You're free to record it, to copy it, to hand it out. It'd be great if you, you know, we use the Creative Commons licensing, so, you know, basically share and share alike with attribution. Let everybody, you know, if you post this somewhere, please give us a link back to rangers.com. That's r4nger5.com. If you want to link right directly back to the AZ Archive, that's great, but the front page is probably a better way of going because we're always putting new stuff up. Just recently, we've started another podcast. One of the guys started the 76th Street podcast, and I believe that's up on the site now. Of course, my DSL is still down, so I can't check, but you can check there and see. If not, 76th Street, maybe 76th Street Productions, I'm not sure. I'm sure you can dump it into a search engine and find it, though. But this and all other Ranger media, as far as I know, is free to share. You'll find a lot of things like V-Wild Camping, a couple of really neat little combat shorts. Combat shorts was kind of an inside joke on gym shorts and so on and so forth. The one on radio usage is actually kind of handy if you're going camping and want to have a little bit of radio etiquette and stuff. Feel free to grab that. It's also up on YouTube, on the Rangers channel on YouTube. Same spelling again, R4NGER5. Let's see, what else? Doug Sparling, I want to thank for letting me use his music. The closing track, which comes up here in just about 2 minutes, is a real rocker. It's a short track, but it jumps up, gets right in your face. He was kind enough to let us use it, and I want to thank him again for that. And like I say, I believe it's DougSparlingMusic.com, but I'm not 100% on that one. I do know he's on a Lone Tone as Doug Sparling. Everything up on a Lone Tone from Doug is Creative Commons, so you can grab it and throw it on your MP3 player and take it with you. Give you something to listen to on the way to work. When you're out running, that kind of stuff. The track coming up, Chagrin, is a really good, you know, driving, running kind of song, so definitely well worth the time there. Let's see. I'm going to say we've got about 2 minutes before that, so I'm going to give you one last little tech tip here as to how I do this and how I know about how far away the music is. I lay out the show in Reaper ahead of time, an hour long, and I put the last song in and set it so that the song ends right on 1 hour. That way I know I can talk up to the beginning of that song, and it'll be exactly an hour, so it fits my time slot and doesn't run over and the song get cut off, or, you know, I'm right in the middle of yammer and it just kind of cuts out all of a sudden or something like that. So that little tech tip will help you a lot if you decide to do a podcast. Your middle music can be wherever you want to put it. Build yourself a little intro, you know, that lets you set your levels and things like that. My intro I built a while back. kind of a bizarre little intro, but nonetheless, it lets you go through and set your levels and get everything up and running. Doesn't hurt to put in the date as to when the piece was recorded at the beginning. Identify who you are, give your media sites where you can get your stuff. You know, I plug the snot out of our stuff, but it's not a bad idea to put that in your media. So if you've got a podcast, let people know, in case they accidentally stumble into it somewhere, where it came from and how to get it. Maybe put up a page on social networking sites, G+, Facebook, so on and so forth, so people can Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. So people know new stuff's coming out. Give credit to your sources and go with it. And so with that, Doug Sparling.